I have a riddle of sorts. What was 4 years ago? What will happen 3 years from now? Another little hint. This is a sabbatical. This is the seventh year. And another hint, it was read at the last Feast of Tabernacles, not once, but at least twice, as it is mentioned twice in the book of Deuteronomy. I'm talking about a third tithe, or a tithe, more specifically, a tithe for the poor. And I was encouraged to look at this as I was forwarded an email. Another gentleman had asked the question, you know, is what about the New Testament and tithing? Is it still standing for today? Well, indeed it does, and I want to go over a few scriptures about that. But the comment that was made from an individual that says, you know, the tithe is not for today, and it's not in the New Testament, made some comments. And it made me look at the third tithe, the tithe for the poor. First, I'd like to go ahead and start by looking in Psalms 24. If you turn there, please. Psalms 24 and verse 1. Kind of sets the stage for the tithe and what we're going to be talking about here. It says, "The earth is Yahweh's and all that it contains, the world and those who dwell in it." So everything is Yahweh's. And Haggai 2:8, you don't have to turn there, but says even the silver and the gold, all the wealth, in other words, is Yahweh's. Let's take a look at some of the tithes. Let's go back to Leviticus 27. Some watching on the internet, listening to tapes, might be thinking, what? There's a third tithe? Wait a minute. I give a first and I keep a second. Well, it's not so bad. It's good being in Yahweh's word. Leviticus 27, verse 30, we find a first tithe. It says, "Thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or the fruit of the tree, is Yahweh's. It is holy or set apart to Yahweh." Let's go to Deuteronomy 14. Deuteronomy 14 and actually in 22 is reference to a second tithe. This is a tithe that we're to put aside and have for the sojourning feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, and also the Feast of Tabernacles. Many save it up for the Feast of Tabernacles as for some that's what they do, and that's not wrong. But in verse 28, we read here, "At the end of every third year, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in that year and shall deposit it in your own town." So we see a couple things here. One, this is a tithe above and beyond the other two tithes, because those tithes are to be done yearly. There's no break. It was never mentioned before that there would be a break. And okay, well, the third year, just, you know, stay home. It doesn't say that. But you'll notice that it shall be deposited in your own town for your local community. And I'll say today that actually this is pretty much done already in the fact that we pay taxes, sales tax, federal tax. These taxes go to the government. Well, the government provides subsidies for these organizations that are set up to help your local communities. And I know out of my paycheck, there's like 30% that's missing each time. So it's well above any tenth. Now, during the Reagan administration, of course, there were many cuts in the funding to help the poor and the needy, and that's what this tithe is for. But there's still enough subsidies going to the organizations that are set up in your local communities to help the poor. And so I don't think we really have to worry about this too much. But it is something to consider. as we're in the seventh year now, this will be coming 3 years from now. So it's something to consider. But that's not to say that we should only give at this point above and beyond what we normally do. We should always be giving and helping and serving in any way we can. In doing so, we help let our light shine. Actually, Yahweh's light shining through us. You know, in talking about these tithes, I remember sitting down with my boss for lunch some years ago. And he got talking about some particular group that he knew tithes, gave a 10% of their income to the cause of the assembly. And he said, "Boy, you're very lucky you don't have to do that. Those guys are so stupid." Well, that's one point in my life that I kept my mouth shut. Because it's like throwing pearls before swine. His attitude was totally wrong. He didn't have any desire to know what the word says and not, you know, beyond doing it. He didn't want to do it nor read it or understand it. But in Malachi, let's go to Malachi 3. You know, someone that's pointing out in the New Testament, well, you know, that the tithing was done away with. Let's take a look at a couple things in Malachi, and we might meditate on these to see if they are also done away, or see if they're done away with. Malachi 3 and verse 8. It says, "Will a man rob Elohim or Yahweh? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, well, how have we robbed you?" And today people don't understand. But Yahweh says in tithes and offerings, "You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you." He goes on to say, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, you know, where the work's done. Let's go to Malachi 2. Just back a little bit, starting in verse 1. This is also mentioned in the Old Testament. It says, "And now this command is for you, O priest," or teachers. "If you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says Yahweh of hosts, then I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have cursed them already, because you are not taking it to heart." Cursings and blessings. Are cursings and blessings laid out for us today? And they certainly are. You know, in Malachi, this is a pretty common scripture that's been brought forth in Malachi 3:6. It says, "For I, Yahweh, do not change. Therefore, you sons of Jacob," which is Israel, "are not consumed." Let's also go to Hebrews 13:8. Yahweh is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and he will be tomorrow. 13:8. Hebrews 13:8. Yahshua Messiah is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's also turn to Psalms 33. Go through these fairly quickly. Psalms 33 and verse 11. It says, "The counsel or the instructions of Yahweh stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation, for 1,000 generations," the Bible says. So with this third tithe, if we were to actually, you know, go above and beyond, we, you know, we pay our taxes, but we're still maybe going to give some to the local community. How do we do that? I remember a homeless gentleman coming up to me, and I was walking somewhere, and he said, "Friend, can I borrow some change? I could see he was really destitute." So I had a lot of change in my pocket, and I pulled it out, and I started to hand it to him. He said, "Oh, boy, I needed a pack of cigarettes." I closed my hand, put my money back, and turned around and walked away. And I probably shouldn't have turned around, you know, leaving him in the behind where I couldn't see him because he could have jumped me. But I think he was probably stunned But I wasn't going to support that. And neither should we. So we have to be careful. If we're going to give to somebody that's asking, we need to make sure that they're really getting the kind of help that they need and not be supporting some sin or a bad habit like alcoholism or something along those lines. Someone is allowed like that to go and receive aid from their local community services. And I remember one gentleman said, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with them. You know, you're in the faith. And this was a brother speaking. He said, you're in the faith. I want to receive help from you. But I had explained to him that there are services that are set up for the kind of help that he was particularly seeking at that point. And he refused to do it. And he was, for some reason, disturbed in a number of manners, in a number of ways. But he wouldn't go. And he said, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with Egypt or, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah out there. I said, look at this. When the children of Israel were in Egypt and came out of Egypt, what did they do? Egypt offered them gold and silver, and they accepted those gifts. They accepted the help. And we have the right to accept government help, if it's needed. Let's go to Deuteronomy 15. We have to be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves. We have to help one another as we can. In some situations, it's better if the other services are set up to do those type of things or referred to. In verse 15 and 11, it says, for the poor will never cease to be in the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall freely open your hand to your brother, to your needy and poor of the land, if you're able. And we do what we can. I've been helped. I've helped others. And it's a good thing to do. Some situations that there needs to be even more help, and that's where maybe a government agency will come into play. But this the poor will never cease to be with you. Let's go to Matthew 26. Now here we have the Bible once again. Old confirms new. New confirms old. Matthew 26 and verse 11 says, and this is Yahshua speaking, for you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. So it's something telling us, you know, have your priorities correct, but it's still confirming the Old Testament. And in Matthew 5, Yahshua enhanced the law, something that was in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, the New Testament. New Testament is an ongoing, a continuation of the Old Testament in a sense. It's not a deleting of the Old Testament. In Matthew 5, Yahshua enhanced the law. He made it more clear, gave it a fuller understanding, completed it. And, when he spoke to the Pharisees about tithing, he said, you tithe and the mint and the cummings, yet you neglect the weightier matters of the law. Love, kindness, mercy. This is really what we're to have in abundance for one another. But he said, you know, don't neglect the former. Do that as well. And one of the first things Yahshua said is don't think that I've come to do away with the law. You know, get that completely out of your mind. I didn't come to do away with the law or delete it. That wasn't his intention. As you know, there's a changing of priesthood in the Hebrews chapter 7. And tithing is mentioned more than once there. Abraham is mentioned, and he tithed before even Mount Sinai, before that. The law was given there. The law was before. The law is with us. The law is going forward. It's going to be going from Jerusalem I'm not sure how someone can say, well, tithing is not for today. It is for today. Let's go look at the in Deuteronomy 26, where we'll find the other part where the third tithe or the tithe for the poor is mentioned. It's 26 and Deuteronomy 26 and verse 12. It says, when you have finished paying all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing. Why would they call it the year of tithing? Because there's three tithes involved. It's kind of a special event. It says, you shall give it to the Levite, to the stranger, to the orphan, to the widow, that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. Now notice very carefully verse 13. It says, you shall say before Yahweh your Elohim, I have removed the sacred portion from my house and also have given it to the Levites, to the alien, the orphan, the widow, according to your commandments which you have commanded me. And I have not transgressed nor forgotten any of your commandments. Brethren, may we be able to say the same thing. Let's earnestly do what Yahweh tells us to do. Study and prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Because there is a coming time when we will want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. May Yahweh bless you.